What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Orbital Debris Listening Party. Orbital Debris is a record Nate and I made, and we're joined by Royce, who's going to listen to it. He hasn't heard the whole thing yet, and we're just going to shoot the breeze, talk about music, talk about gear. Nate, say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody?
And
happy
Royce.
Whatever day it is.
What's going on, everybody?
All right, let's hear some music. So Nate, I think this is the first piece we worked on.
Yep. Yeah, this is something I'd never thought. I really didn't, you know, I put it in the back of my mind or in some folder somewhere, and this is a lot better than I ever thought it was gonna turn out to be, because it was just kind of a bunch of random things.
Right, well, these were your odds and ends.
Yeah.
And then, so we decided, I reached out to you like late March, early April.
Yep.
And we haven't seen each other since the Approach show like 2 years ago.
No. And the first time we talked on the phone was just the other night.
Right, like a week or less than a week ago.
Yeah.
But everyone's on lockdown and I'm like, hey, Nate, you know, we talked about collaborating. You want to do anything? What you got? You had odds and ends.
Yeah, man. I was really happy. I mean, that was out of the blue, but I was totally stoked for it, man. You emailed me and I was like, okay. Then I started thinking more about it. I'm like, okay, this is going to be cool, man. So I just started digging through, you know, the stuff that I had ignored and forgot about. And a lot of the stuff I sent you, I was just like, he's probably going to think I'm just like, you know, fucking around. And but you put some really cool stuff to it, man. So, yeah.
So you'd send me like usually these like 3 minute snippets, different loops and things. I'd record some stuff, send it back, and you did a ton of editing and mixing. And then what I did on my side, whatever gear I used to overdub your stuff, I would make one new piece using that same gear.
Yeah.
And send that to you.
Yeah.
So about half the songs started from your leftovers folder, and the other half was weird little jams I would do with just whatever equipment I set up to overdub for you.
So what do you mean? Like, can you give me an example of how you did that?
Like this right here. He sent that to me, and the first time it was just kind of like a kind of atonal all over the place. I was like, can you you know, quantize it or put it in a key? And so he said, yeah, and then that's what came out of it. But that kind of, I like that in the end of the song, man. It kind of brings all that stuff that was kind of weird and stuff together, and it has a kind of a hook to it.
Sweet. So that was Colloid. Let's hear a little bit of Reclaim Action. So Royce, a minute ago, this is our second or third time recording this. This was working for you.
Yeah. It's got a lot of space in it, man. A lot of space and a lot of depth, and I like that. I feel like I'm in the music, you know? Like, I'm just in a completely different world. And I don't know what this world is, but it's got a lot of lasers shooting at me.
Sounds yeah, like when it goes up, game. It does. It's got kind of an 8-bit
yeah.
sort of
yeah.
sound.
And a good groove to it.
So I remember, I mean, Nate edited the drums and added a ton of everything, but this song started with that main riff and a drum brute impact. And I love the sequencer on the drum brute impact because so many reasons, but one of the things I love to drag notes back a little bit. So those snares, you know, are dragged back just a hair for that kind of, I don't know, it makes me want to move.
It's definitely got some good bounce to it.
So what was the mixing process? I mean, like, how did you decide the space of it? Did you know that going into it? Did it just happen during the production?
Like, the, like where everything's placed?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what are you, what is that synth, Howie? That's a Medusa?
The Medusa?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much in the middle, right? And I guess you could have probably done some stuff to it and made it different than that, but I like the melody. I like the way it kind of takes you somewhere, you know? So I thought it should be complemented. And I think you sent me the key or the keys that you're, or the notes that you're using, right? And so
yeah, the scale.
Yeah, the scale. Hey, man, I've only been doing music for how long? The scale. So I think I did a sequence on the Moog, a couple sequences on the Moog, with some a little bit of patching and just messing around with filter and some resonance and like the modulation.
I like the way it moves, like, around the whole stereo field. It's like constantly moving. I feel like, and this is ridiculous, but I feel like I'm skipping with Teletubbies through a forest. You know what I mean?
No, that sounds awesome. This is, I mean, it's got a happy feel. Cause this, so the scale, it's a major scale, but also with a minor third and a flatted seventh.
Oh, okay.
And in the Medusa presets, it's called like the Bebop scale or something.
Mm-hmm.
That'll mean more to some people watching than it does to me, but I liked it, and it does have a happy, it's probably the happiest song on the record.
Which is interesting, like, I don't know a ton of music theory, but I've never even heard of a flatted seven, you know what I mean? Like, I never even thought to do that.
You definitely recognize, if it had the regular seventh, you'd know, it's so weird.
It'd stick out more, yeah.
Now we're just going to destroy it a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, man. I like this part, too.
And so, I mean, and you're just going back and forth, right? Like, you're not together when you're doing this.
No.
No. We haven't. The last time we saw each other in real space was at an Approach show. Nate Astralis, you played, too. I think just solo, right?
Yes.
And then you backed up Approach. And that was 2 summers ago. Like, more than 2 years ago.
Yeah, I like how this is destroyed. What was that hump?
I didn't know where it was going, and then it did it.
T- Tight ending. I like a tight ending.
Yeah.
I got a whole rant about fade outs.
Ah, I hear you.
So this is called Damn 96.
Yeah. What's that mean?
It was at 96 BPM.
I don't know why I thought any different. I thought there was something about 96 that you were referring to.
Like no, it's just a working title or something. Just a working title that turned into something. And we should, there's a kick or a low tom pattern that comes in another little bit that I want to pause in here, because to me that's where the song started. So this started on my side on the drum brute impact.
Okay. I knew that I liked it for a reason. I used to have a drum brute, and that there's a lot of the drums on the record that Royce mixed for me or with me was drum brute.
Man, I just love your use of space. You guys are doing a great job with that.
I can tell it's good when Royce is turning it up. I start to hear the bleed.
Yeah, but that was like syncopated, man. That was
just go for it, man.
This is it, man.
Yeah, there's that kind of pitchy, super low drum sound.
It's just a trance, man.
Yeah, you gotta have that sub going on this one, man, for sure. For sure.
I told Nate when we talked last week, I never mastered a record where the subs were so important or so different from song to song. So a huge part of mastering this and getting it cohesive was figuring out the subs from song to song to song.
Oh, I hear you.
I abused the roller on the drum brute impact so much on this song.
Oh, that's okay, man. That's and like there's a couple of things about that I really liked just because of jamming. Like it was just cool that like you could just do a bunch of cool stuff and then I would edit together and put a bunch
of. Right, but that's what I'm saying. You did the heavy lifting. I just messed around for 8 minutes and sent it to you.
It's what makes a song, though, man.
You know what, man? Like, this, so far what I've heard all the way up to this project, like, this would just be dope to just be a moment on a Friday night where, like, you just came out and you danced and you knew every week that there was going to be this music. You know what I'm saying? Because it just has its own vibe. It has its own thing, this whole everything. And it taps into something that, like, I don't know, I'm not getting that from anywhere else.
So I don't really have a background much in electronic music, and I was on the websites and like watching videos this week, trying to figure out where we fit in the lineage and like looking at the charts, and I had a really tough time, man. Like I don't know where to put it.
Yeah, I feel like I should know how to describe it. And I mean, part of that is there's a lot I don't know, but
it reminds me,
can't think of necessarily anybody that we would sound like, and I'm not saying that as a, you know, like anything. I wouldn't want to compare us to somebody who I was really like into, because I feel like that would be like assumptuous, you know.
In the 80s. You would get a lot of movies that would have like background music that would be just like super fucking dope, but you'd only get like a snippet of it in a scene or something like that, you know? And that's what this kind of reminds me of. It kind of reminds me of that feel, that vibe, even the sonic character of it kind of like lends itself to that to me. Like, I could totally, like, this could totally be like a Eddie Murphy movie, and he's like moving through the factory with his gun up like he's gonna kill somebody, you know what I mean? Like,
seriously. That's fantastic. That is good to hear. I will take that. Nate, what's that R2-D2 sound?
It's the Moog. It's the grandmother. Yeah, it's probably a sequence that I took the modulation ray up, fucked with the waveforms, and I have it patched to like filter and sync and oscillator, and it's just, you know, I just do passes and then find like a few bars.
I could totally hear like 80s style hip hop chorus to that, you know what I mean? Like just something that just floats an idea different places through the song, you know what I mean? Because it kind of has that like Run DMC kind of, you know what I mean, like feel to it. That's how the beats kind of move. That's tight, man. And a lot of space gives it like a much more like polished, it'd be like a polished, that's why I thought Run DMC, because it'd be like a more commercial kind of feel for the 80s, you know what I mean?
No, but I dug the drums in that song, man. They made that song.
I think I only sent you drums. I think everything else is you.
Yeah. But it was the drums that did it.
So this is Ether or Aether?
Ether.
How do you say it? Ether.
Ether, yeah. I think the only thing that I used from the actual original file that I sent you, or that I was using, was that.
This shit is dope,
that
man.
Arpeggiated kind of.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to put you guys on mute. Man, that'll go hard in the club, bro. Like, that'll break down. Yeah. They'll be like all night.
Maybe we need
to do a 12
mix.
Inch edit.
What'd you say?
Yeah, I need an extended mix or something.
We need a 12 inch edit.
Yeah, that's what's up.
This one, the edit on this, Nate, you did kind of choose. So here we go, finally, right? Like it breaks open.
Right.
But you really tease and you really use the editing to sustain a lot of tension and not much release. I mean,
right.
It's mostly tension.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of your thing, man. You do that a lot.
I can't say it's totally intentional, but I don't know. It's just, it happens like when you're doing it. Like you're just like, okay, I'm gonna leave this here, I'm gonna cut this here, you know.
I feel like I'm 20 in the club on some beautiful chick, and it's just like you're throwing all this different moves at me, trying to mess up my game. You know what I'm saying? And I gotta stay.
Well,
with
I think
it.
Some of it's too. Some of it is wanting to hear certain elements on their own, cause like that would sound cool. So like figure out a way to do that. But you can do it too much. So I try not to do that. I hope I didn't do that.
No, this is not too much. And especially where it falls on the sequence, and you sequenced this record, thank you, because I was at a loss.
It was coming fun, after man.
Damn 96, it falls in a really good place in the sequence, because your edit on Damn 96 really does, it's a generous edit. It gives a lot, it's a longer one. The the kind of the hook or like the main part goes on for quite a while.
Yeah.
So it's cool to have this as a contrast.
Yeah, it's pretty short, which is why I say it'd be cool to have to do or have someone do an extended mix of it, like an extended edit, and just like a, like Royce said, like a dance floor.
Oh, come on, Nate. We know you got more heaters in there. We don't want you going back in time. Give us some of that heat you sitting on.
Now, I know we're promoting the album, but Nate, we do have a place where such an edit could live if one was made.
That's true. Yes, we will have more to come in the...
Who's doing these strings on this?
That's Virus. An Access Virus.
That's Indigo. You?
What's that?
That's you that did that?
Yeah. I think it was...
This is all Nate except for bass and one little lead part that I did toward the end.
No, but... I mean,
that's your bass right there, though? That's your bass?
Can we talk about that other mix?
Sure, we talk about whatever. Yeah, it's my bass. This is MS-20.
Yeah, so that sounds really good. And it's basically the same bass like I did, you just redid it on the MS-20.
I put a little envelope on the attack, so it kind of, there's just a little filter that opens on the attack. And it ended up sounding kind of Moogie, like a little bit.
Yeah. But your edit is very clean, and it treats the virus and then your part differently. And your part, like what you sent me, is in mine, but it's definitely a part of the kind of, I'm at a loss for words right now, just part of the whole picture, as opposed to being kind of featured, which I really like, man. I really like that mix that you did.
They're both, so we should just say, we have an EP that we're gonna follow up with later in the fall sometime, kind of TBD. It's got three kind of alternate mixes or edits, and one of them being a different mix I did of this song. And a song that's not on the record. And now I think we need to do the 12-inch ether edit for sure. We need to you need to either do it or pick somebody, because I think we should definitely do that.
When does this record come out?
Next week.
Next Friday, 14th.
Next Friday.
14th of August.
Yeah. You can hear three songs on Bandcamp right now. The first two, and then number 8, which is still coming up. You can pre-order on Bandcamp. We'll get it on the streaming platforms a couple weeks after. So if you're Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, it will come toward the end of August.
Yeah,
but we're starting just on Bandcamp.
Okay. Yeah, I got a couple playlists. I got some songs now that need to be in there.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I was asking you about whether or not it's on Spotify.
I will definitely let you know. It'll be sometime after the 14th, but before the end of the month. But I'll shoot you an email when it's up.
Yeah, I like that that little melody you do. Mine was just like a straight and then change. You classed it up a little bit.
With that
which
bass?
Is weird to say. So that's the MS-20 again, and it's going through a Boss DS-1 distortion pedal that I modded, and it will actually oscillate itself. It turns into an oscillator if you turn it up high enough, and it's got all these crazy artifacts, which you can kind of hear at the end when it fades out, and it kind of gets all weird and then flips down an octave, and it's not a classy pedal is my point.
It sounds great at the end of this song. I think that's why that just, it's a great ending of the song.
is a cool one. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, that's a good vibe, man, for sure. I'm gonna turn it up so I can hear that end. That's what's up, man.
So it's a halfway tight point now.
Yep, this is
end of side two. One. Yeah.
Yep. Side two, man.
Okay.
And these were your drums.
Drumroot Impact again, which is my only drum machine. Processed through the MS-20 for all the distortion.
Yeah. And this is Medusa again?
Medusa again with those little chord guys up top.
So did you say it was two and then
are
three
oscillators?
Are those organs?
What are those? They're just like little synth sounds?
Sorry, Royce.
That melody. What are those sounds? What are those? Is that an organ?
That's the Medusa again. I'll send you a link when we're off the call.
So does it have three oscillators?
It's got three analog and three digital oscillators.
Oh, shit.
And you can arrange it. It can be a mono synth, three voice synth with an analog and digital stacked, or a six voice synth.
Okay.
Bro, this shit is dope. Yep.
Yeah, this so
what?
When
that's
I first
tight.
I think the
that's tight. Hold on, man. I'm sorry, Nate, man. What were you saying?
Oh, no. I was probably going to be talking too much.
Nah, you good, bro. You just blew me away, so I needed to,
no,
I
think
needed to get into that space
from like
for a
2010
second.
2010 or 2011, I bought a Mini Brute. No, yeah, Mini Brute. And I think this is probably the only thing I did with it. I was just kind of starting to get into hardware synths and... It was a cool synth, but I moved on to other shit. But anyway, this is like one of the only things I had, and I thought it was just super cheesy. It was really not much of an idea. And you arranged this one, didn't you, Howie?
Maybe. I don't remember. I didn't do much arranging. Occasionally, I'd add a little space to the beginning or end or something.
Anyway, it came back to me in a form where I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. And so I moved some stuff around, and then but the drums, I think the drum like outro sort of is the badass part. Like what you were doing with the MS-20.
Yeah, I was trying to do like digital, or not digital, but like synth when the levee breaks. Wow. So it's got that dotted eighth echo. And it's kind of a similar pattern of kick and snare. And then I would do like, so the Echo is a DOD rubberneck delay, which has like a runaway trails kind of thing. So I'd do these dub sort of, have the trails run on for a bar or two bars or whatever. And then you cut that up to do the arrangement.
I like the way it's mixed. I feel like I can almost get to the music, but I can't quite get to the music. And it keeps like, it's pulling me in. Like, I've never even thought to mix an arrangement like that. That's tight.
I'll have to ask you more about that, man.
Let's just ask now. I mean, say more about that, Royce, if you can. Is this a reverb thing or a space thing, or what are you hearing?
I mean, I feel more like... No, I feel like everything's in like a perfect space in the actual track. And like before, it's like you brought me into where I was like in the music. And now it's like, I feel like it's moving away from me and I have to go get it. Does that make sense?
All right.
And I'm sure it's just a style and choice that you had for the record or whatever, but it flows perfectly because the whole album is evolving. And I'm sure that's something you did in the mastering process. The whole album is evolving to an emotion, almost like a heartbeat. You know what I mean? Where now, like, before, you were giving me music where I had to dance. Now it's like, I felt like I had to move forward with the way it sonically felt.
So I feel I think that's to Nate's credit as sequencing. Because when I master, I'm aiming for consistency, and I don't tend to be a very creative mastering engineer. Like I aim for kind of technical consistency and a real kind of old school approach to mastering. So to me, I credit that to Nate, and he's the one who put the songs in order for the most part.
I think we
this is Thompsonian, by the way.
Thompsonian.
Which gives me more open up, more space, you know what I mean? Like, that's different than the last one, just from the way that the space around me fit.
So that bass line kinda, what is that?
The bass and drums are monotribe.
Okay.
Modded monotribe. I hacked mine apart. So they're not the stock monotribe drum sounds.
And now this
and you Nate added drums. You added hats. The secondary snare is Nate. So the beat I sent you was pretty basic. It's just hat, closed hat,
yep.
Snare and kick.
Man, you guys like y'all work together on this record. You know what I mean?
I think I was doing these chord changes twice as fast, and he told me to change it every four.
Oh, give it, let yeah. it live a little and bit, that, let yeah. it breathe.
And now they're changing.
Where do those drums come from?
Korg Monotribe.
But that kind of beat there with the hats is MPC Live.
Yeah, this really turned into like a super hybrid drum beat because you added a kick as well, right? Like there's a yeah. higher.
Yeah, man. And I had a hell of a time thinking that they sounded good together. And I was like, man. And that's when I discovered Logic's drum replacer. And that thing was like a revelation, man. It was amazing. It, like, scrolled through like three or four, found one, and it was perfect. And there's,
man.
Yeah.
You know what, man? Like, I really wanted to get back into Logic this year. I love Logic, but I just don't know what Apple's doing. It makes me mad because I don't want to like invest all my time and energy into learning that, all that shit. Then I got to spend $60,000 to get a computer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't. I'm just going to try to keep my computer as in tip-top shape as possible. I've been thinking about going to get some more memory put into it because you have to, but to take it in, they have to do it for you.
I love Logic, man. I love creating in it. That's the first time I ever felt creatively free as an engineer, producer type dude. But, like, I don't want to vote. Like, I'm all Apple, and I feel like my whole world's going away. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just getting out of reach.
Yeah, just not accessible.
Yeah.
Bullshit. But that's how it used to be, too.
Huh?
Like, all this stuff was just not accessible unless you...
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've got racks and racks and racks of gear I wouldn't be able to afford if it wasn't for plugins. You know what I mean? When I came out of engineering school, I was like, I'm never going to be able to afford all
this stuff. That was a Mono
Evolver,
by the way.
That was what?
Mono Evolver. Which I need to get more into. This is the lead single with the video.
Yeah, I've got a video coming for this one.
It's out. Is it out? There, it lives out in there. The world, baby.
It's that bass line, right?
Yeah.
Nate, what is that, the grandmother?
Yes, sir. And I pushed it pretty hard through an SSL channel plugin. And those drums, man, what'd you do? Where'd they come from?
Just the impact again.
Of course you have a video for this. You could do anything in a video for this and it would be dope, you know? Anything. I feel like I'm on the moon.
It's the bass line that brings us together though, because what I sent Nate was drums and this kind of atonal, that little just kind of all over sequence. It's not in any key or anything, it's just pitches.
Huh.
I love that part.
Where it drops out?
Yeah, just that.
Yeah, that was good. That's a good breakdown or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, before we really get going.
This shit is tight. Man, you could drop bars over that.
Never know, man.
Yeah, that's, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Nate, we're getting pretty close to having the conversation about the next one.
Yes.
That'll be a fun conversation.
Yeah, and I've got several, like, three songs that I think could be an EP. I need to do a little bit work, and they're more, I don't know, we could talk about it later, but they're a little different than this electronic stuff. But then I've got some ambient stuff that I want to send you to see what you think.
Yeah, all my ideas are quite a bit
this
different.
This shit is... goes, bro. This is dope as hell.
Yeah.
that, it's all drum brute?
Drums, yeah.
I like that shit. I like that one a lot.
Kind of nice. So we got two more, Venus Rhythm and 5/4.
Man, you guys were smart to make that a single for sure.
Hey, mute it, Royce.
Huh?
Mute it. I want to hear this. Love that, man. What is that?
I can't even remember. I don't remember what I did on this. Everything sounds like you.
No, that it's in your right ear. That's me. This is you.
I think that's the MS-20.
Okay. Yeah, this is all
sustain-y thing.
Yeah, this is all analog rhythm.
Yeah, man, I like the way that moves too.
I think there's just like a live thing I did on the rhythm before I unfortunately sold it, but I got all my stuff off of it, but I did this one, just recorded it live, individual track too.
This feels like what I would,
and that's a vibe.
I love how the bass line switches up and goes offbeat there.
Yeah, that bass line I think is a mini log.
Like corporate suits and umbrellas.
I like all the sci-fi associations.
This shit is tight as hell, man.
Just end it.
That's what music would sound like if scientists made it. You know what I mean?
We have been holed up in the lab for 5 months now.
I think this is one of my favorites.
I like that drum for sure.
You just sent this 5/4 synth thing to me, and would you say C? What key was it?
Man, I don't remember.
C something. C with.
I told you the notes.
Yeah, C with a B flat.
I don't know how you chop this up, and On the EP, this is one of the edits that's on the EP, and you can kind of hear basically what I sent you, but I made kind of a virtual tape loop in Reaper with a very long delay, 100% repeats, like no analog or degradation or anything, so it just repeats, repeats, repeats forever. And then it's sidechained to the input, so like a tape, when you record over it, it pushes the old song, the old sound down, not all the way, and kind of replaces it, so you get this smear of different sounds that just layer stuff on top of. And I don't know how you chopped it up.
I don't think I chopped it up at all. I think what I did was programmed a handful of sequences on the MPC, and this might have been more or less a first pass. Just I just switched sequences, you know, just went kind of randomly. I mean, I had obviously breakdown stuff, but here's I
what's
thought.
What's the sound? What's the bass
oh,
sound?
Oh shit! This
it's like
track
a hammer
is
on
so
on the
tight.
Yeah, that's some metallic clang. It's a percussion I found it on the in a sample library.
Cool.
Dig it, man. I dig that a lot.
So we're coming down. This is the end.
Nate, do you play drums? Who did the drums on this?
Me.
Do you play drums?
No, not really. I mean, I know how to make sounds on them that resemble beats, but I wouldn't say I play the drums, no.
All right.
Does he sound like a drummer?
I was very impressed by the drums that you guys put on this track. And they just do like all these unique, weird times or moves and motions that just fucking work. You know what I mean? Like, it's dope.
That's kind of my whole aesthetic, is like weird stuff that works. It has to work. I'm not into weird that's only weird or weird. I mean, I'll listen to plenty of weird stuff, but like, I don't like making something that doesn't make my head move or, I don't know. Have a melody, have like a singable melody or something. That's less this record, you know, but.
Well, no, you got that one track where you don't even have, where you were talking about not even having any kind of type of chord structure or melody involved, like that shit went, you know what I mean? Like that was dope. That was super, super tight. This is a dope record, man.
That's pretty sci-fi.
Right? Who knew you could be sci-fi and dope at
man,
the same
but I
time?
Loved,
who knew?
I loved how you alluded to like a Boards of Canada thing with those pads. Because I did do some tape stuff. Not too over the top, but...
Right.
It's really cool. That's Hydra Synth. You know, it's just... And it's a really kind of a digital patch, but going through, I think it's J37 or something. I just tweaked some knobs.
Who put that like hand drum in there?
Me.
That was you, Howie?
No, that was me.
No, that was Nate. All the drums really? on all the drums on this song are Nate.
Interesting choice.
I sent
huh?
a guide. but that's all. I don't think he used any of the sounds from the drums they sound. I mean, you weren't. I didn't mean for you to. It was just a.
It's a little just guide. Time. Right. Yeah.
So when you're presenting music to one another, what's going through your head? Like, what are you thinking? Hey, I'm getting ready to send him this, but like, cause like you just said, like, you didn't mean for him to use those drums, but you sent them anyway so that he would hear kind of like where you were, I'm assuming, right?
Exactly. Yep.
And so in your head, what were you thinking? Like, what am I going to get back from this? What am I trying to convey? Like, how would you phrase that?
I had no idea what I was going to get back, because I'm not. So when I'm used to, I come from like a rock background. And so we like write a song and record it from start to finish. And you might like clean stuff up or whatever, but there's not this sort of chop it up, move things around. Like there's nothing close to the type of editing that Nate does. And I still record synths the same way. Like I hit record, I play what I want to play, and I hit stop. So it was exciting, and I had no idea what I would get back when I would send stuff over. I mean, if I'd send drums, I'd assume that like the beat would still be there, right? Like the idea, but I had no idea what order things would be in or what sounds would be added on top. And it was just a totally different way of working than I was used to, which was super exciting.
And how did you send them? You sent them as WAV files, like stemmed out WAV files?
Yep.
Okay. And so, Nate, you grab them.
Mm-hmm.
Did you already have a session, or are you like getting these for the first time? Like that's the first
time. Some of them were, you know, first time, and then I added stuff to them. But some of them were kind of responses from what I had uploaded, and he kind of took and did his thing. And sent him back.
It's like half and half.
Yeah. About... Yeah. Totally, man.
So pick the one song where it didn't have any kind of like actual melodic stuff. How did that song come together?
The first one?
You know what I'm talking about? No,
I think he's talking about SQ1MF, number 8, the banger.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's like a single, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that started on my side. It was Drum Brute Impact, and I used a little chord sequencer to sequence a Moog MF drive. Yeah, the sequencer sequencing a Moog MF drive distortion pedal, and it's got the Moog filter on it, so if you turn the resonance up enough, it oscillates, and then it's got an expression input to plug the sequencer into. This was a weird one. So it was started with drums and that little bleepy bloopy atonal thing, and then Nate did all the magic, and especially the bass line. I said it when we were listening, but like that bass line, the bass line is the hook to that song.
And that's your bass line, or that's Nate's bass line?
That's Nate's bass line.
Okay, so Nate, you get this track. It's, yeah. You hear these drums, no really melodic, like map to follow.
Right.
How did you approach that? What did you do?
I think I found just a couple things in there that. Like in the intro, you've got those those just kind of you know, little things, and then I thought it was pretty much, if you want to call it a hook, it was a hook, the kind of what you hear in that main part. I think there was a couple different times it did that, and I just grabbed whatever those bars were in time. And
so sonically, what did you physically put to the track first?
I probably put down some pads first.
Okay. Why'd you do pads?
For some harmonic content, some
okay.
Yeah, just to give it a little.
So you could build in a
more
map.
Vibe, yeah. I mean, once I had gotten what Howie sent me, to, you know, more or less what I wanted, it there was a, you know, hinted towards a key, so I just kind of found the chords to put behind it, and I think there are chords in there, but there are some more, I don't even know what the right term is for it, like risers or tweaked synth patches, like tweaked pads, and then...
And you did that with the pads?
Yeah, that's how you started? I did that with the Hydra synth, and then yeah, it's like it, you know, needs some sort of bass, and that was kind of more like a, this might be cool. And then
not even like this shit right here is gonna go hard in the club.
Thinking that at all. No, man. I don't have a whole lot of confidence sometimes in what I put down, and a lot of times you put down something and you don't necessarily expect it. It's just kind of a placeholder. But then
I felt like I was after, like Zoolander, like man. I felt like Zoolander, where they're like everything's like hyper sensualized. You know what I'm saying? Like I could feel the energy like smacking me.
I think after two or three like times through, I was like, okay, here, these are the notes that I want to play in these particular parts. And so I had to figure out, you know, what those were, and then I just played it through, and that's it. But the Moog, that the bass sounds that you can get out of that, just not even patching anything, are just sick. And like, I think there's a couple different mixes of it that you, Howie, weren't too fond of because the bass sound had morphed a little bit.
There's what makes the bass sound, what I love so much about the bass sound in that song. There's this top end growl, and it changed. I mean, you open that filter just a little bit as the song goes along, and as you're playing live, you were just, that filter nudges up kind of each time it comes in and goes out again. And it makes it, it's like a voice. Like, it feels like a voice to me. It sounds like a voice. It holds my attention like a voice. And in the middle of the mixes, there were the treble or whatever mid-range that was, and the bass got turned down, and I lost that vocal quality.
Yeah.
And we had to go and pull it back. But it's that, just that, there's that perfect upper mid to the Moog that makes it pop.
And some of it's that SSL channel that I had pushed it through, beefed up the low end and compressed it a lot. And I think I messed with some of those settings in the mixes that weren't, you know, kind of regressed, but yeah, we got it back. It sounds pretty good.
I'm super happy with where it ended up.
How do you know when a song is done? How do you know you're done?
And what?
When you're like, you guys had to eventually get to the point where you're like, okay, this is done. Let's master it. How did you know it was done? Like, what were the, like, what happened in your world that was like, oh, that's done. We don't need to do anything else. Let's master it.
I don't know. I think there's maybe one or two songs that really didn't have any other than the first mix, but most of them had at least a revision or two, and then some had multiple revisions and then revisions of revisions.
Right, but the tracking process was pretty simple. I mean,
yeah,
for the most part. So if you, for the ones you started, you'd send me a set of like six or eight stems. I'd add one or two or maybe three things, send it back. And at that point, you edited and mixed. And I might have some comments on the mix or whatever, but like you didn't send me more stuff. And then I sent you more stuff or whatever. It was like a one, you pass it to me, I pass it back, we're done tracking. And like the stuff that started on my end, I'd record one or two or three things, send it to you, and I'm done tracking. Like, we did not go back and forth about that. And with the mix, I tried to keep my comments to a minimum, and that worked because the mixes sound awesome. And so I really tried to just let you do your thing and let you find your way through it. And I'd speak up if I really felt strongly about something, like with the bass on SQ1, but for the most part, I loved what I was hearing, and so I didn't have much to say.
Well, yeah, it felt pretty effortless, like back and forth. And, you know, the songs that you sent me, I didn't feel like I worried how you would receive them if I did a whole lot to them. But like a lot of things, I don't know if we edited down a whole lot. We just kind of like made stuff that fit it.
Did either one of you like send notes what you were sending to the other person, or was it just like, I did this, here it is, my hands are up? Like how did that communication work?
There's always BPMs were marked so we could sync stuff if we were doing sync things.
But you didn't have notes? You weren't like, hey, here's what I want you to work on, or like, I think you need to replace that bass line. It was just like, I'm going to send you what I have and all the elements of it.
I felt like if there was, you know, like the bass example or something, but if there was something egregious, he would say something. And I feel like I'm a pretty easygoing person too. So, you know, and I really didn't have a whole lot of things to say back to what he sent me. And I just was hoping that he would like, you know, how they got edited.
Oh, I got you. Okay. I was just curious, like you hear something and you're like, oh, I like this, but, you know, not like ego about it or anything like that. I was just curious how that process worked on this project.
There was not very much of that. I mean, I think I definitely, when I felt that stuff, I'd say something, but I just mostly didn't feel it because I liked what I was hearing. And that's one of the nice things about working on weird music is that there's not expectations. We're not trying to to fit, and like we're not trying to meet like a standard of something that is house music, or you know, something that is ambient music, or so there were kind of, I felt like there were very few rules. We didn't even know what we were making when we started. It was just Nate and Howie are going to make a record, and whatever that sounds like is what we'll discover along the way.
That sounds like a movie. You guys should make a movie. Nate and Howard are going to make a record.
I'd be in the laundry room, you know, turning knobs and patching tables.
That's what's up. That's interesting, man. And so you started in April? Was that when you said you started?
About.
Late March, early April. So we could find the email, I'm sure.
And then you wrapped up when? When was like when you were like, okay, the record's done, let's start thinking about other stuff?
When did we fix Thompsonian? I mean, it was last week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the masters,
and got a hold of you
the masters last week.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. So each song, how many times did it need to go like back and forth? So if it started with Nate, it went to Howie, and then Nate mixed it, and then Howie mastered it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
If it started with Howie, it went to Nate, came back, and then you mixed it, Howie?
No, Nate did all the mixing.
Okay.
And I did all the mastering.
Oh, okay. Okay. And was that just like the division of labor? Is that how you guys decided it going into the project?
Yeah. I was hesitant to be like, yeah, I want to take on the mixing. I was actually, I think I mentioned to Howie, I was like, I might get my friend Royce involved because I just didn't have, I won't get into it, but, but he said that he was very comfortable with mastering and he would be willing to do that. So we got the music, you know, together, started sending back and forth, and then I actually got furloughed and had not a whole lot to do for 2.5 months. So I just, you know, started relearning and learning more stuff about how to mix, and it's not perfect by any means, but I think it's a little, it's a step in the right direction from where I was before. So that's a good thing, man.
You're underselling it. The mixes sound great, and I was encouraged. The rough mixes sounded so good to me. I think I remember saying, like, why don't you take a stab at it and see how far you get?
Yeah.
And if you're not comfortable, if it's not getting where you want, then we can bring somebody else in to mix it. But I wanted you to take a swing.
I'm glad that worked out. Like, yeah.
Did you learn a lot?
Yeah, I did. I think I did. And I like this record. I like it. I think it's fun to listen to. It's not offensive, really, to me. There's nothing that there's. I mean, there's like one thing that the like Thompsonian. You know, when we got done with it last week, that's the last song. It was just like a percussion element that was too loud, and I tried to fix it, but when I sent it back to Howie, he's like, it doesn't sound the same. And I was like, okay. And I tried it again, and he's like, yeah, it still doesn't sound the same. And then he suggested sending just the element, like the dry and the affected part of the percussion element. And he would try to, you explain it.
Sure. Yeah. We should put this down for posterity in case it helps anyone. And if you've gotten this far in the video, thank you so much for watching all this stuff. We're about to get real nerdy. So track 7, Thompsonian. There's this fairly acoustic-sounding clave sound that happens through the middle of the song that Nate felt was too loud. But we had done several mix revisions since the one that I liked, and we're struggling to get back to the mix that I liked in order to just to turn that clave sound down. And what we ended up doing, I had Nate send me I ended up using the wet one. So the clave sound, his original clave sound soloed with the effects sends that, you know, it was going to like a reverb or something.
Can I stop you for a second? Can you take me back and like, and just like, so what are you mixing in? What are you mixing it in?
I'm working in Reaper.
Okay. And how does your workflow as far as signal flow work Reaper?
It's, I should have written, it's very simple. There was no master reverb on the mixes. So every song is going to the same reverb, and that's EQ'd, you know, to be kind of mid-rangey. So there's the same reverb across everything. Which can be, I like to do that sometimes in mastering if the mix already doesn't have it, to kind of tie everything together. And so then the dry and the wet are going to, it's a very simple signal chain. I might have the order wrong, but it's basically tape saturation, a very light tape saturation, multiband compression, and limiting, final limiting. Across and then, you know, the every song mix has its own EQ.
Okay. But across the entire mix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where we were starting from. And so Nate sent the clave, and I put it, you know, in with the mix in parallel and flipped the polarity so that clave sound phase canceled. And then I adjusted the levels of the solo clave to kind of get it where he wanted. So there'd be just enough phase cancellation.
Oh, against the actual two-track mix. But against the two-track mix, you did that.
Yep. Yep.
That's what's up.
I can't believe that it worked, but it totally worked. And if anyone needs to fix something later, you know, 10 years from now, I'm going to file that away because that came in
for sure
crazy handy.
That's what's up, man. That's crazy what's up. Yeah, we did get nerdy on them, for sure. That's dope. Okay.
If you want, man. Did you get that Dimension D email?
I did see that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what I was looking at, though.
And that's up on your website, right?
Yeah, it's up at MrFuriousRecords.com. And Royce, I'll be happy to talk you through it in detail if you want. But it's... I have a signal a processing chain for stereo widening that's not, it's modeled on the old Boss Dimension C and Dimension D pedal and rack mount unit. But it's not modeling them, it's just taking the concepts and breaking them into pieces so you can tweak it how you like. And it's my favorite.
So you can use your own plugins?
I don't like stereo widening as an effect, but this will let you widen something in a way that sounds natural to me.
Okay, so I would use... Okay, so let me help see if I understand this. So there's a pedal, and you took the way that that pedal worked, and you created a formula that would allow me to use my current plugin setup to achieve the same kind of things that I could do with this pedal.
Exactly. All you need
is an
EQ and a chorus, basically.
That's what's up, man.
Any EQ, any chorus.
Oh, okay.
We should. Maybe this is a separate video because it's. I should come up with some kind of demo or something. I really like the sound of it. I use this trick all the time. I especially use it on when I've got a mono synth source that I want to split and have it have some space. This is my favorite trick for that.
Okay. That's what's up, man. All right, well, this has been fun.
Yeah, man.
This has been really great. Cool. Royce, you've been an awesome guest. I'm so glad to meet you. I'm going to wrap this up for the video. This is our fake goodbye. Hang on the line, guys. We'll have a real goodbye once stop recording. But thanks, everyone, for watching. Thank you, Royce. Thank you, Nate. I'm Howie. Our album, Nate and I, Orbital Debris, Volume 1, it's out next Friday, August 14th, 2020. Stay safe. And if you liked this, I'm sure we could do some more with some Life Absolute music, with some of my other Night Mode music. So if you like this, let us know so that we can do some more of these. Guys, I'll have you send me your socials. I'll put them up. And everybody stay safe.